that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak, as they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. 'Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
Hey, good morning to the remnant, and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We are coming to you live from it's a beautiful blue sky radio ranch this morning. Sun's been up 45 minutes. Had a beautiful sunrise this morning and blue skies. A little frost this morning, but it's supposed to be in the 50s today. And we're thankful that spring is coming. Not quite 2 weeks away, and it's coming, and we're thankful for that. But today is March 6th, 2021, and we welcome you. We thank you for joining us, and we've got the men on board. Good morning, Brother John.
Good morning.
And good morning, Tim. How's Nebraska this morning?
Good morning. Everything's sunny and bright. Glad to be here.
Amen. Well, we're glad you're here. And Remnant, we do. We welcome you, and we're thankful that you've tuned in. We know that the Remnant tunes in from all over the country and all over the world. And we're thankful that you're here. We've got our coffee. We've got our Bibles. We hope that you do as well. And this program that Pastor Peters came up with so many years ago was an opportunity for Christians, like-minded Christians, to get together and just be able to talk about things. Maybe for us to share maybe how we see certain things from a biblical perspective. And to have even if it's just a short time, a good time of Christian fellowship. And that's what we do. It is. Well, John, we'd ask if you would open us up in prayer first thing, sir.
Sure. Well, Heavenly Father, we just love you. And Father, we thank you for all of our many blessings. And we also thank you for our trials and our tribulations and testing that we're going through right now, Lord, that are bringing us closer to you, that your word says refine us into the men and women that you want us to be to serve in your kingdom. We thank you for this time that you set aside for us to come together and to encourage one another to love and good deeds, just as your word says. Father, we pray for grace and mercy and compassion in your wrath, and that you would find us, your people, worthy to escape the things that are coming. We continue to pray, Father, and knowing that you are a God that hears and answers our prayers, that the things that were done in the dark would be brought to the light and shouted from the rooftops. And we're seeing that almost on a daily basis. Father, we continue to pray that you would send confusion into the camp of the enemy, that they would turn upon one another and devour one another, just as Gideon and the 300 with the Midianites. We pray that they fall in the pits that they dig and be ensnared in the traps that they lay, just like in the book of Esther. And Father, we pray for righteous judgment. We pray, Father, that just as your word says in Hebrews 1:14, that we can call upon you to send out myriads of angels. Father, we know that your desire is not for your people to perish, but for all to come to repentance. And we pray first and foremost, Lord, that those that can would come to repentance, that you would remove the scales from their eyes and unstop their ears, and that they'd be able to hear and see the truth, and when they do, that they'd fall upon their face and cry out and ask for forgiveness while there's still yet time. We thank you, Lord, for the baptism last week and in the local church. It's not enough of that, Lord. I just pray that you would convict your people that time is short, and that if they haven't yet entered into that covenant with you, if they haven't yet been buried through baptism, died to their old life, born again of the water and the Spirit, received the gift of the Holy Spirit, and their names are not yet entered into the Lamb's Book of Life, I pray that you would convict them, Lord, those that are yours, to make sure that they do that, but that they also understand that there is great consequences if you talk the talk, so to speak, and don't walk the walk. Father, we pray for wisdom, understanding, and discernment in these times that we're in, especially as the patriarchs of our household. Help us to hear you, the Lord, and when we do, to be obedient, knowing full well that your word says that you're ready to punish the disobedience of those who hate you and hate your people when our obedience is complete. Lord, we know that that's when we love you with all of our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength, and none of us are there yet. And we can't get there without the help of the Holy Spirit, but, Father, we're getting closer, and we thank you for that. We need to be willing to put aside our own selfish wills, wants, and desires, not our needs, but our wills, wants, and desires, and do the will of you, our Father. Father, forgive us for falling asleep as the watchman over the house of Israel. I specifically pray for wisdom with regards of timing, Lord, when it's the right time. Ecclesiastes says there's a time for everything under the sun. Well, there is a time coming to fight. And Lord, we just pray that you would reveal that time, that we would be wise as serpents and harmless as doves until that time. Continue to pray for those in positions of authority, that you would give them wisdom, understanding, and discernment. Father, continue to bind the demonic forces, the spells, and the witchcraft that are all about us. Send your ministering angels to minister to your people and your guardian angels to protect them. Continue to send your warring angels to battle Leviathan in high places, as we know that those battles are going on between good and evil, and they don't even hide it anymore, Lord. These are the worshipers of Lucifer and Satan, and they don't even hide it anymore, Lord, that they hate you and hate your people, and their desire is to kill the Adamic race. So, Father, use this in a mighty way to awaken your people to see the truth, the Israel truth, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, Remnant, The way the program works, we are live this morning, this Saturday morning, March 6th, and the phone lines are open. If you'd like to give us a call, 307-745-5913 is the call-in number, and it is live radio, so if you do call in, you have to make sure that you turn your radio or your computer off, whichever way you're tuning in. I do want to let you know that the website is back up and running and broadcasting out 24/7, the audio stream, and been down printing the newsletter this week. Still got a little bit to go on it, but we'll get that mailed out to you this next week. And it's jam-packed full of stuff that you need. I'll tell you that. Information that will help you in your walk. And but the website is up. I do encourage you to, if you have the opportunity, to just turn your computer on and click on the scriptures4america.org. And then when you get there to the home screen, you can click on the live audio stream or constant audio stream. It's only live when we're live, like this morning. But it is 24/7, and you can hear replays of previous Sundays, and you can hear Pastor Peters, a variety of messages, and working on the newsletter, have the opportunity, kind of standing there in the office, to do that very thing, and to have the audio stream running, and hearing some of the foundational messages. I know yesterday we were replaying a couple of the messages on the Power, Prophecy, Destruction, and Deliverance series, and one of the Heart of the Matter series. And when you listen to these messages that were preached 30 years ago, you see how prophetic they were, how our pastor saw what was happening when nobody else saw it. His message on being a seer was quite interesting, and heard that a couple days ago as well. And because he saw these things happening and coming and developing, and now many people are seeing them because they're right in their face. They're crammed down our throat. They are forced upon our children that are in the public school system. They're forced upon us as nurses and healthcare practitioners that are helping in the form of vaccinations, and so these, it's just reassuring, I guess, to hear these messages again, and then to be able to see them in the light of today. John heard your message this past week on the book of Esther. Heard that again. And I couldn't help but think how, and I thought it was an excellent message, not just blowing smoke or patting you on the back, but it was. The book of Esther is not preached on a whole lot, but I think you did a good job in bringing it to light and showing how God was working behind the scenes, how he had things put in place. And just when it seemed like you were at the 11th and 59th minute hour, the last, there was nothing else you could do and you were fixing to be wiped out, God had things in place. It wasn't that then he started doing things. He already had put plans in motion. And I wrote down that, you know, it was Haman, right, was the bad guy in there. Haman and his evil plans were exposed, and he was punished. And I can't help it. I told Tim before the program, I just barely got to look at the news. We've had a busy week here between the print shop and the radio ranch. But the big news this week is what? New York Governor Cuomo being exposed, all these women coming out and making these accusations against him. And not just one or two, but these things are coming out and being exposed. And I think it's part of the...
Yeah, but more importantly is the deaths that he caused in the nursing home. So these accusations are, I believe, just a wag-the-dog kind of deal to get the people's attention off of really the tragedy in the number
of the nursing
homes. In the tens of thousands of deaths that were caused by the policies that they implemented on purpose, which, by the way, he made sure that his mother was taken care of and not put in one of those nursing homes. It was all about raising the numbers of COVID early on, any death, every death, and they had to create as many as possible to show that this thing was somewhat real, even though we know that it's a plandemic.
Yes.
But, yeah, so we need to be careful that we don't fall for the enemy's tricks that we fall for all the time in the past. It's not about the, unwanted advances and stuff. We're not talking sexual harassment here or anything. You're just talking about accusations of unwanted, advances or whatever. And that's nothing compared to what he did to all of those elderly people, all the grandmas and grandpas and, that are no longer with us because of the policies that he made. And, he was paid handsomely for it.
Yeah, it's the...
It's a fact. I mean, when you look at that, and then you see that he covered it up. I mean, they're now showing that reports were changed and amended and everything else about this death. And, that, it was definitely... There was a conspiratorial cover-up in place, I think it goes along with the fact that I read an article earlier this week, and they were talking about there's only one news story on any given day. The quote was, there's only ever one news story on any given day, and it's always the same news story. Wealthy and powerful people seek more wealth and power, and narratives are spun to advance these agendas, that's so often what we're, shining the light on is like, look what's going on over here. And, it's a travesty, the things that are done to the wealth and power that kind of thing of those people.
Well, the thing we need to realize is that this is much, much larger than just a presidential election. This battle right now that's going on is good versus evil, period. And it's to expose the child trafficking and the pedophile ring, worldwide pedophile rings. And, you start to see people like Mitt Romney with a black eye, and you see others with a black eye. And sadly, these children that are sexually abused, then they're frightened to the point of creating as much adrenochrome. I mean, this stuff's real. You could say whatever you want. I brought this up a year ago, 2 years ago, but this is real. And this is their drug of choice. This is their fountain of youth, adrenochrome. And what happens is these children, from being so abused, unbelievable. I mean, there's videos out now, so you can't deny it. These are videos of these people doing these things to these children, period. It cannot be denied. And the fact that these kids get these panda eyes, their eyes just turn black, probably just from, I don't even know. But guess what? There's some special forces that are starting to turn some black eyes on the people that have done it. So when you start seeing people with black eyes, you can understand one thing, that they just received their warning. And let me tell you something, there's things going on, just like in Esther, behind the scenes, and our God will not be mocked.
Amen.
And these people will pay with their lives.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen to that. That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
Well, it's when you get, sometimes you look through all this trash and thrash that's going on in the world, and we see all these things, and when you have eyes to see, you wonder sometimes. But Romans 8, man, just read it and claim it. It's like I always just 8:38 says, "For I'm convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, and it's like, wow, there's a lot of enemies, but there's just one power, you know. So I think Romans 8 is one of those things that it always makes me feel better after I read that. And, you know, the title on that is Deliverance from Bondage. And we see that, I think, when we see the wickedness of the enemies lined up against us, the power of God is, you know, there's a lot of people out there right now asking, can America be saved? But I think there's what we need to ask is, how can it be destroyed when God is for us? You know, he's exposing these evil people out there that are doing things that we can't even imagine. You know, I mean, we wouldn't imagine that. So, you know, praise God for his power and his might and his majesty that people are being woke up, and there's changes coming. So, and they know it. You know, they hate it.
But Pastor Peters always said that someday the American people are going to figure out what they've done to them, and when they do, those people will not be safe to walk the streets. And that day is coming.
Yes.
Because there are things, if you're watching, there are things going on. Look, just this week, one of Bill Clinton's longtime aides for 20 years flipped on him and basically exposed his connection with Ghislaine Maxwell and Pedophile Island. And so there are things that are going on behind the scenes. The pain is beginning. And you know what? They're scared. Those people are scared. And they literally are fighting for their lives. So you get a rat cornered, that thing will put out everything it's got to try to survive. And that's what you see right now. You see, and you know what? That fence around the Devil's City in the Capitol there ain't nothing but a cage.
That's right.
A cage for 90%. They say 85 to 90% of those people would be indicted in these child sex trafficking or pedophilia rings. And you know what? We just got to keep praying, believing. We got to keep falling upon our face. We got to keep fasting because we have to provide the prayer power for the righteous angels that are battling Leviathan in the high places. That's what I believe. I believe that this present darkness and into the darkness is God gave us a glimpse of what's really going on in the spiritual realm.
Amen. I think that too. Yeah, I think that battle in the spiritual realm is huge. We just don't have any idea how big it is. You know, it's an amazing thing.
Yes. Well, Remnant, the phone lines are open. 307-745-5913. And I like how John put it, and he reiterates that from his last Sunday's message how God is working behind the scenes. People are praying, you know, and God has his people all over. He does. There are some here. I was with Jason yesterday. We were picking up electrical supplies, having to replace some electrical here at the radio ranch. And we're loading up the trailer with some conduit and wire. And here's a guy drives up, and he's in an old Subaru. And the whole side of both the backs are just plastered with anti-abortion stuff. You know, return to God, and abortion is a sin. Just plastered. We went up and said hi to him, said, hey, I said, I like your stance here. And we talked for a minute just a kindred spirit. No, on every type of doctrine, no. But he understood, at least to the point, that abortion is against God's law. And it is murder. And we should not be doing it. And he was putting his money where his mouth was. You know, he had his car plastered and little almost mini billboards on the side of the back of his little Subaru, and that's encouraging, that there are those 7,000 out there that haven't bowed their knee to Baal, that continue to cry out, that have that mark of Christ, which is the crying out against the abominations, against the sin that is in the land. And God has heard that. It's not that just starting yesterday people started doing that. People have been doing that. You know, you go back and, like I said earlier, you listen to some of the older broadcasts that Pastor put out, the imprecatory prayers and the you know, those prayers were heard, and those prayers were answered, and they're still being answered by a God who is not slow, as we consider slowness, but is patient, not wanting any of His to perish, but for all to come to repentance. And we're in that. He is, you know, some of us have turned and turned back to God. And He is patient right now, wanting some others to as well. And I think that's, I keep remembering what Brother Paul has said, you know, that, hey, we're being taken as a nation. He sees that we're being taken to the woodshed, because these, you know, when do God's people turn back to Him? When we read through it, is it in times of low unemployment and high prosperity? Do we ever read that in the Old Testament? Do we ever read that, you know, when they were just blessed beyond belief, that that's when they turned back to God? No, that's when they turned to everybody else. And it's in times of great peril. You know, I think this nation had the baby boom and the fantastic growth after World War II as a result of the prayers that were prayed during World War II. I think it's that way now. We are we're going into that woodshed, and rightly deserving it. I think it's where in Isaiah that says, you know, you'll go to Babylon, but there you'll be saved. And I think God's taken His people to where they will have to cry out to Him. They won't any longer rely on, you know, turn to the one that strikes them, but will turn to Him. That's how I see these things going on. You know, the enemy's turning on themselves. There in the Senate, the amendment for that $15 minimum wage failed. The Democrats had 7 Democrats voted against it. And other than that, it was partisan. It was right along party lines. And it's just one more example of the enemy turning on themselves. They think they've got it, just this is what we're doing. Wait a minute, and it didn't happen. And boy, they get in an uproar over that when that happens.
Yeah, this week, Attorney Lynn Wood, dropped a real bombshell, 191 pages. I actually read through most of it. Affidavit of someone high ranking in, I believe it's the GOP, that exposed details of some of this child sex trafficking and exposed several high ranking officials, including the ex vice president and several others. So these things are, that were done in the dark, are being brought to the light and shouted from the rooftops. And these people know that their days are numbered, you know, and God may be taking us to the woodshed, but He's taking them to the gallows. So that's what my hope is.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I agree with that 100%. I think it is going to be like the days of Gideon. You know, the Midianites were upon them for what, 7 years? Because they had turned away from God. And I think you could put at the very least, put a zero onto that 7 years for the 70 years that that this nation has turned away from God. And the people cried out, and God sent His prophets first. And they told the people. I think they told, when I read that story now, I think of the prophets were people like Stephen. You know, when you read about Stephen, who went and was filled with the Holy Spirit and told the people who they were, They reminded the people who they were and who their God was. And I think that Gideon was one of those people that listened, that heard, and took it to heart, and realized that it was because they had turned from God was why these Midianites were able to come upon them. And that's what the angel of the Lord tells him, that go in this your strength. When you realize that it's God that has done this, that's why this Anglo-Israel message is so important, because it lets the people know who they are, that they're not just some meerkat. They're not just somebody that, maybe we'll follow this book, maybe we'll follow that book, maybe we'll obey God and Jesus Christ, maybe we'll be Shinto or Buddhist or what, that when the people, because that's how the people in this country think today. You know, it's they do that which is right in their own eyes. When they realize who they are and the responsibility that goes along with that, and that we do have a direct line to God through His Son, Jesus Christ, in obedience to Him, that's when it changes. I think that's what's happened throughout the Bible. When the people realized who they were, like Peter preaching to them on the day of Pentecost, his pastor used to put out, pointing his bony finger out to them and saying, "You crucified the man, the Son of God, that God sent to save you, and you crucified him." And they were pierced to the heart, and they said, "What do we do? What do we do? What can we do? We killed the Son of God. What hope is there for us? What can we do?" And he told them, "Repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, not only you, but for your children as well." And because it puts that gospel message into play and into movement. And it's no different today. It is no different today. That's what the people need to hear. They need to hear who they are and what they need to do. And these Baal priests, these false prophets that are out there that say just accept Jesus, there is more to it than that. When Paul was talking to them, and he said, Peter, and he said, you crucify God. They were believers then. They believed that Jesus was the Son of God at that point in time. They believed. And they said, "What do we do?" And that's been lost with these Judeo-Christians by design. By design, what do we do? What do we do? Now that we believe that Jesus is the Christ and we crucified him, we believe, we're level with the demons, because the demons believe also, James says. What do we do now? Well, now you repent of that and be baptized and have your sins washed away. And that message is as vibrant and needed today as it was over 2,000 years ago on that first day of Pentecost. What saves.
Basically, there's never been a better time, at least in my lifetime, to share the Israel truth. Amen. I mean, the fact that there's people that are looking around and saying, "Wait a minute, what's going on here? Why are they all of a sudden attacking the white man?" And I had an opportunity to share that with some people at a basketball game last night. And at first, they're kind of puzzled, you know. It's like, "Well, what do you think's going on?" And I said, first thing you need to understand is that this is the promised land. This is Jerusalem. This is the land of milk and honey. This is the greatest country in the history of the world, the most blessed nation. At least it was at one time when the people blessed God, and it will be again. But the reality is, why do you think they're attacking the white race? Well, because they know the enemy, just like Pastor Peter said, the enemy knows their Bible better than most Christians. And they know that we're the only ones, the descendants of Adam, are the only ones, the Germanic, Scandinavian, kindred, and Celtic people of the Bible, are the only ones that can bring them down. They know that because they understand the ones that the Abrahamic covenant was made with, that God will not abandon. He will take us to the woodshed, absolutely, but there will always be a remnant that he will not abandon, and we're the only ones, through the power of God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, that can take them down, and they know that.
That's absolutely right.
That's right.
Well, and I remember Pastor talking years ago about the fact that, you know, there's no place left to go anymore. I mean, God's people kept on moving. He'd bring them out of captivity. I mean, this is an old story, this captivity and deliverance thing. Read your Bible. It starts in, you know, clear back in Genesis, and it's continued right on up to modern days. I mean, you put into captivity, they find God again, they're delivered, and it's just, you know, rinse, lather, repeat. Kind of sad when you look at it. It's a bunch of sheep that can't figure it out. But when you understand that, but the difference right now is like Pastor said years ago, there's no place left to go. This time, God's enemies are going to be taken out of our country, not the other way around, because there isn't any place for them to go anymore. The whole world has been migrated to or settled to, or they've moved away from it. And this time, this is it. I mean, where will you go now except to God, you know? And where will you, I mean, that was part of the way he protected that remnant until that whole world had been covered with that, you know, movement of those people. And it's a little different scenario this time if you think about it. But, you know, they were, and they're doing the same thing that they've always done. You know, eventually they get scared, like you said, John. They get terrified of, well, we got to get rid of these people because they're the only ones that can do us. So let's conspire, or let's figure out a way to, you know, get rid of them. We'll inject them with poison, or we'll make them gather their own bricks and their own straw, and we'll work them to death, or we'll in these different ways. And I think this time we're also seeing a lot of a multiple layers of attack on our people, which was kind of what that Romans 8 verse was about. We're seeing angelic attack. We're seeing powers attack. We're seeing financial attacks. We're seeing, you know, attacks on our children. The whole list is, it's running the gamut there. But, you know, if you have the bigger the Red Sea moment, the bigger the Red Sea deliverance.
I
mean, that's the way it goes.
You know, talk about a Romans 8:28 situation there, January 6th, you know, with basically Stop the Steal rally in D.C., the demon rats have made an attempt to try to basically convict anyone who was even attended as a domestic terrorist, and that whole thing is backfiring on them big time. Basically, through the investigations, it's being discovered that it was Pelosi and Schumer and McConnell and several other high-ranking officials within the government that had basically coordinated the Antifa and Black Lives Matter riots. They're the ones that did the damage. And so it's a Romans 8:28 situation going on there as well. And it's encouraging, you know, there's so many people that are, well, aren't you worried about that? Aren't you worried about that? No, I'm not worried about that. God can change a curse into a blessing anytime he wants to. And, you know, he'll give them the enemy just like he did throughout the Old Testament. He'll give them a sense of false superiority, you know. And, but then, I mean, it's been really, really encouraging to me to go back and to read the story in Gideon and to study into Esther and you know, there's so many, all of those battles. The reality was that God gave them the victory before they even fought the battle. That's the truth. And he even told them, he said, I give you the victory before you even fight the battle. And you know what? When they weren't obedient, when they didn't listen, then God did not give them the victory. And, but, you know, there's enough people, I believe, that are seriously crying out to God I don't think that this is the final tribulation. I don't believe that at all. I think that'll be, obviously, it'll be God who brings that down upon us, not demon rats. And I don't read about the demon rats being the ones that take down the civilization. So be encouraged. Just like in Esther, there are things that are going on behind the scenes. Our God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, is working, and but he's also using this to expose just how evil and wicked and vile these people are. And even some of the demon rats are having their eyes open, you know. And it's fulfillment to the scripture that he doesn't want any of these people to perish. You know, the ones that have been deceived. Think about how many people have been deceived by the false prophets. How many people have been deceived by these teachers that have been educated in higher education for 30 years and spewed their lies? You know, God wants to give these people an opportunity to come to repentance and to turn to him.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Just like Paul.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes. And that's why we have these. One of the reasons we have these scriptures is for people to be encouraged to go back and read these stories. But again, if they don't understand who they're about, if they think they're about, oh, those people over there, it doesn't apply. It doesn't apply. But when the people realize that it's about our grandfathers and our grandmothers, and that's what they did, it's encouraging. It's encouraging. Well, Remnant, the phone lines are open this morning, 307-745-5913. If you'd like to give a call, if you have a comment or a question. And again, we've working on volume 2 of the Dragon Slayer newsletter. We'll have that in the mail for you this next week, good Lord willing, and the printer keeps running. And we send that out. We don't charge for the subscription. We'd be glad to send you one, and after we get it in the mail, we'll get the online version completed and get that sent out to you as well. But for those that are on the Scriptures for America Dragon Slayer newsletter email list, we'll be glad to email it to you, a full color and interactive with links that take you to the website. If you don't get that newsletter, we'd encourage you to contact us and request it, and we'll be glad to send you a copy of that. Again, we can send you a print copy in the mail, or we can email it to you. Our address is Scriptures for America, Post Office Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535. And let's go to the phone lines this morning, and good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hi, Richard. Tom from New Jersey again. Listen, I noticed on TV last week on One American News, there was an interview with the state senator from Pennsylvania, and he had in the background an appeal to a heaven flag on the show. And it was on the screen a few times. And I also saw on Sunday, they had a video from the Stop the Steal on January 6th. Again, I saw the flag. So I saw the flag twice on television, appeal to heaven. So maybe that's a good sign that people are hearing and getting the message a little bit. That's all I got today. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Tom. Yeah, Remnant,
I don't know. Here in our neighborhood, we see them too, right? Just flying. People are flying them all over the place, a lot more than they were. So, you know, it's a wake-up call. And people are appealing to heaven for God to save America again and for him to remember grace and mercy and compassion in his wrath and to find his people worthy to escape the things that are coming. So, yeah, these are all good things.
Amen. I talked to a person that went to D.C. I saw some pictures, just public pictures. We shared them, I think, on a review of the news one morning that looking out among the crowds that you could see a few of those flags. And I talked to a person that went there, and they said there were several of them mixed throughout. And so it is. It's encouraging to see that that there are. It's that remnant that are making that appeal to heaven, that are returning to God, and that is encouraging.
Amen.
Well, and I think it's interesting that there's a lot of these states, particularly in what they call flyover country, which you've got to remember, they think that's just nobody and nothing. And I think the truth of the matter is that's the strength of the nation, is the people that, those people who seek power out there on the, in the high points, they're just a bunch of show-offs. The real strength of arm of God and the real strength of his way are the people that they overlook, you know, the flyover people and that are out there. And the Dakotas, they just passed a bill that said basically, we don't care what the Fed passes, we're not going to pay any attention to unconstitutional laws passed out of D.C. And you've got other states like one of the Virginias there that are saying, we're going to open all back up, we're getting rid of all this stuff. You got Texas down there doing the same thing. We've got Arkansas and Missouri and Oklahoma doing things. We've got, it's all around us when we look at it, you know, that people are, there's a rumbling that says, now wait a minute, you know, I mean, and the bread and circuses that is this stimulus check business that they want to pass is, and you know, it strikes me as funny that, that they can, in their reasoning mind, they send trillions of dollars overseas to quiet our enemies, but they act like money really matters when they're going to send it back home. But as long as we can get them all quieted down, we'll be happy with it. So there's a whole bunch of that kind of stuff going on, too, where they're trying to buy people's silence, really, is what they're after. You know. So,
well, you know, the reality is they dump all these millions and billions into all these stupid projects and into these other countries and stuff, and it all gets funneled right back into them. Why do you think that all of the Congress is multimillionaires, you know?
That's right.
The truth is
exactly
that to the people.
That's right.
You know, now they're talking about a mere pittance, yeah, $1.9 trillion, which of about, I think, 30%, if that, is actually to help the people with regards to the lockdowns and everything with the COVID. And the rest is just all of their pork projects, basically bailing out the demon rat cities that have been run for years and run into the ground. And, you know, all of that is being exposed as well. But it's kind of funny, really, when you think about it. First they say $2,000, you know, and then they drop it down to $1,400. And now... basically, if you make a decent living wage, you won't receive any of that. It's only going to be, you know, people under a certain wage. And so they continue to whittle away at the part of it that's actually COVID-related or whatever that's supposed to help, you know, the American people. And but they don't touch the, you know, the pork.
That's right.
I got to hand it to Senator Ron, I think it's Ron Johnson from Wisconsin. He demanded that the entire 646-page bill or whatever it was be read aloud,
yes,
which took 10 hours, you know. So there are some that are doing all that they can to expose what's going on. And they actually had it a link on the Internet to the reading of the bill. And he dared you to listen to it for, you know, more than 30 seconds. I listened to it for 4 or 5 minutes. And, boy, you talk about the most convoluted, you know, legal document that there's no way that you can follow it. And then it's just, it's unbelievable the fact that, but, you know, they created these bills and they've been sitting in a drawer or wherever for a long time, and now they think that they're just going to, you know, just run over the American people. And the good news is that even some of the demon rats are waking up to the fact that, well, wait a minute, you know, we didn't sign on to a communist agenda here.
That's right.
You know, they talk about defending the democracy, and that's what they tell you the truth. They're trying to defend their democracy. And their democracy means that, you know, the democracy rules. And when you cheat and you create millions of ballots and to get your people in the power, well, then that's what they do want. But we were founded as a republic, and it's going to be important, I believe, for our people to understand the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence. It's going to be important for us to understand that we're probably coming back to the time where innocent people will be charged, and it's up to us to understand our responsibility as jurors. I mean, I've always avoided it like the plague, you know, just basically say, I believe in the Bible, and pretty much that'll get you thrown out of any jury, you know, that you're a strong Christian, believe in the Bible and God's law over man's law, and they'll throw you out faster than you can say anything. But the reality is, we're to be judged by, you know, better to be judged by 12 than carried by 6. But we have a responsibility of like-minded Christian patriots to willingly serve on these juries, because that's how a lot of this stuff is going to be exposed, and how a lot of innocent people will be released. So I think it's important that we start to take the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and the Declaration of Independence a lot more serious than we have. The reality is, they can't pass, I mean, if you read the Constitution, they can't pass any law contradictory to the Constitution, period. And the good news is, just like you were saying, Tim, is that there's states, a lot of states, that are passing their own jurisdictions and their own laws in their states to contradict anything that the federal government does. And, you know, it's kind of setting it up for succession in some ways, but I don't believe that God's going to let it go to that point. I think I follow this stuff pretty closely, and I believe that things are escalating exponentially, and that it won't be long before we see the hand of God expose the things that have been done in the dark. So it's pretty exciting times to be living, really.
Well, and we're commanded as God's people in the Bible. He says, let your yeas be yeas and your nays be nays. And if that's not speaking plainly, I don't know what is, you know. And you hear them, you watch some of these interviews with some of these guys, and, you know, their mouth moves and they don't say anything. I mean, it's like, I just am always, it's, you know, that's the mark of an Antichrist. You know, I mean, you either don't say anything, that's when your mouth doesn't move, or you say yes or you say no. I mean, I remember when they condemned Christ and they were, you know, interviewing him and everything, it says that he didn't say anything. I mean, that was one form of response. The other form of response is, he says, let your yeas be yeas and your nays be nays, or speak plainly. And like you said, those bills and those things they write, you try to listen to them or read them, you just get dizzy. It's like they just run around in circles and they don't say anything. And it's all a bunch of blather. And then they don't pay any attention to their own rules anyways, because they think they can do whatever they want. And it's a spell, you know, it's nothing more or less than a witchcraft spell. I mean, when you look at it from that point of view, and they're trying to place you under it.
Amen. And folks, we have the little, oh, we call it our patriotic packet. We just kind of put that together, but we've sent many of them out just in the last month or so. It includes a copy of the Public Law 97-280, which from the early 1980s, right here in the United States, where Congress declared the Bible as the Word of God, and it's a fantastic read. It's a one-page document, and also we have the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution, another Constitution. It's a little pocket Constitution printed by the Department of Defense. At the 200th anniversary on the bicentennial of the United States Constitution. Also, a citizen, it's called the Citizen's Rule Book, and it talks about the Bill of Rights. It's a jury handbook. I encourage you to read through it. It is a just a pocketbook, but it gets you thinking. It gets you thinking, and we've moved away from these foundational documents. These documents have the Bible as their foundation, and we as a people have moved away from them. They haven't been taught in the schools for a couple generations now, but we do have them. We'd be glad to send them to you, and you can contact us, and they're on the website as well, and the store, again, the card is up and running on the website. Well, guys, we are almost out of time. I want to thank you men for joining us this morning, and we thank you, the Remnant, for joining us, and we invite you to church tomorrow. You can do that by going to scriptures4america.org, starting at 8:30 a.m. Mountain, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern, and that's 7:30 for you guys on the West Coast. And join us there. We'll have a excellent, timeless pulpit truth that will... I assure you, it'll be like it was meant for today. John, looking forward to your live message. They've been excellent lately. And we'll have communion. And so we invite you, Remnant, to take just a little more time out of your busy week. We understand how busy it is. We have been, all of us, associated with the ministry. From Tim in Nebraska to John and Jason and myself, we have all been... getting it, you might say, all week and all month. And last month was the same way. It's busy out there. It is. But God is saying, where are you going to put your time? Are you going to take at least a little bit of time, read my word, gather with like-minded believers, come and worship me, or just be like the slaves in Egypt and just, do your own thing for 7 days a week? He still gives us that choice, and we have the opportunity to gather with like-minded Christians, even if it's just for a little bit, on Sunday morning. And so we encourage you to do that. And you do that by going to scriptures4america.org, click on the live video stream, and, well, we'll be there with you. Well, again, men, thanks. And we got young man, Anders, coming down from North Carolina. He's a college student and been on the ministry, him and his parents, for a good long time, probably all his life. And he's coming down to visit tomorrow. And, guys, we'll see you at church tomorrow.
Said someday that mountain might get up, but the Lord never will. He's making his way, the only way to how. And that was a whole lot more than what their law would allow. He's still the Lord of lords and the King of kings. He kept on fighting the system and doing what his dad said was good.